as Democrats in Boston get ready to nominate John Kerry for president tomorrow night. New polling data from the National Annenberg Election Survey has some good news for Democrats about persuadable voters, those who are either undecided or have a preference but say there's a good chance they could change their mind. Persuadable voters rate Senator Kerry higher than President Bush on a number of personal traits. Despite this welcome news for the Kerry campaign, recent polling by ABC News is not so rosy. One survey done with the Washington Post shows Kerry slipping, though just slightly, in several areas. Another done with Money Magazine shows consumer confidence soaring, which tends to benefit the incumbent. Two guests join us now to discuss these new polls. Adam Clymer is political director of the National Annenberg Election Survey. Thanks for joining us.
Pleased to be with you.
And Gary Langer is with us from his office in New York. He's director of polling for ABC News. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Neil.
And, of course, if you would like to get in on this conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Adam, let's begin with you. Give us the details on how persuadable voters are changing.
Well, they're generally turning a bit toward Kerry. For example, on questions like caring and knowledgeability, and they think he's more suitable than Bush, and they think Bush is more reckless and stubborn and arrogant. And none of these changes are huge, but in the past, since the beginning of June until recently in July, we've also found things like having the right kind of experience to be president. That doesn't give either one of them an advantage, and that's the sort of thing an incumbent president ought to be able to count on as an advantage.
Did you test on the line that the Republicans have been pushing on Kerry for quite some time, the flip-flop issue? Is that cutting any ice with persuadables?
Actually it isn't. We asked, how does the phrase "says one thing, does another" apply to the candidates? And among the persuadable voters, the ones who haven't made up their mind or are weak supporters of somebody, 34% rated Bush more likely and only 29% Kerry. That's sort of the reverse of what it is with the overall population, where it's 40 Kerry and 35 Bush.
Gary, I know you don't ask exactly the same questions, but what are you finding out about how the candidates stand in these personal traits?
Yeah, we have some different results from Adam, and I think one reason might be it's always worth looking at when these surveys were done. The data Annenberg is talking about that they just put out were collected between the 5th and 25th of July over a three-week period. Whereas the data that I've got were collected from the 22nd through the 25th, a much shorter four-day period. It's the most recent data collected, and it all comes, and it's the only survey out that comes entirely after the 9/11 Commission released its report. So there is a different piece of timing here.
Mm-hmm.
Our data show some movement toward President Bush on attributes and issues alike, in terms of honesty and consistency, and even some in which he's been weaker, such as understanding your problems, as well as some in which he's quite strong, as for example, being a strong leader. And those are on personal attributes. Similarly, on a variety of issues we test in this poll, trust to handle the situation in Iraq and terrorism and even health care, we see movement toward the president and away from John Kerry in the days leading up to the convention. Now, this hasn't affected the bottom line. It's been a dead heat. It's still a dead heat between them. But it certainly shows the extent to which Senator Kerry has his work cut out for him this week.
Let me ask you also about that new ABC Money poll. What does it find about consumer confidence, and historically, how does that play out in presidential politics?
Well, it's quite a significant factor. Confidence has been rising lately, fairly steeply, since indeed mid to late June. It tanked through the spring as gasoline prices rises and there was other economic discontent about, but it has turned around and consumer confidence has been moving back up quite smartly lately. That's important because really nothing affects political well-being as much as economic satisfaction. Indeed, we've gone back and looked at University of Michigan data over the last 50 years. And every year in which an incumbent was running for president, in which consumer confidence was above average, above its long-term average, the incumbent won. Every year in which confidence was below average, the incumbent lost. Consumer confidence today is above its long-term average.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, 800-989-8255 or email totn@npr.org. Mark's on the line with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, I'm one of those 50% of Americans who never votes. I voted for Jimmy Carter, and that was the only time I've ever voted in my life. And I'm planning on voting for John Kerry this time. And I'm just wondering if the polls take people like me into account, or are we just going to come out of the woodwork and surprise everyone?
Adam Clymer?
Well, we don't try to produce a likely voter scenario, in part because we don't release numbers, head-to-head numbers between Kerry and Bush and Nader. So you'd count in our polls as a persuadable voter if you're registered, but you probably wouldn't count in a lot of others where the fact that you haven't voted since 1976 would make you statistically unlikely to vote this time.
Gary Langer?
Well, we do look at registered voters mainly at this point. We'll move toward likely voters as we get closer to Election Day. We did run our data by a couple of likely voter models, including one that anticipates a turnout of about 50%, which would be fairly normal, and one that anticipates a turnout of about 60%, which would be quite high. I can tell you that our data across the issues we're discussing were essentially identical across those groups. So it does seem to be that if people are more motivated than in the past, they may be motivated equally on both sides of the political divide.
Well, Adam, let me ask you a question then about the persuadable voters that you were looking at in your poll. Are they as likely to vote as those people who've already made up their minds?
No, they're not as likely to vote. But they are voters. They are people who sometimes vote or vote not quite as often as the others. And for that matter, not everyone who's made up his mind will bother to vote. If that were true, I mean, we say 82% have made up their mind. If we had that sort of a turnout, it would be a very different election day. I don't know how they'd cope with the lines, let alone the paper ballots.
Yeah, you know, we do a very similar analysis. We describe what we call immovable voters, those who tell us there's a chance they might change their mind rather than being definitely decided. And we have a very similar overall group compared to Annenberg's data. We have about 20% of the electorate saying they might change their mind. That is, by the way, the group in which most of the change we've seen in our most recent poll occurred. And that's what you'd expect. Those are the most changeable voters. However, we also ask those people who say there's a chance they might change their mind, whether it's pretty likely, a good chance of that, or is it pretty unlikely? And what we find is that most of them say it's actually unlikely. And the number, when we get down to who say saying there's a good chance they'll change their mind before Election Day, it's really quite small, only about 5 or 6%.
What we're doing is we, in persuadable voters, we count the people who say they're undecided and the people who say there's a good chance they could change their mind. We do the same sort of follow-up that ABC does. Somebody says a choice, and then we try to find out how firm it is.
And Adam, by the way, Mark, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, is the number of persuadable voters smaller this year, as we've been led to believe, than it has been in previous elections?
Yes, I think it is. And, you know, Gary mentioned timing, and of course we'd always all like to be right up to date. But in order to get enough of persuadable voters, about a fifth of the electorate, we combine some data over 3 weeks, which doesn't by any means negate the point he's making. But we were not so much focusing on who's ahead as on some of these traits and how they affected persuadable voters in particular, and then everybody, and also Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. It won't shock you to learn that on all of these traits, the Democrats think Kerry is better, and on all of them, the Republicans think Bush is better.
We're shocked. Shocked. We're talking about the latest opinion polls with Adam Clymer, political director for the National Annenberg Election Survey, and Gary Langer, director of polling for ABC News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Stephen's with us from Spokane, Washington.
Hi, yes, I have a question about how the polling takes into account cell phone users. And do they only poll landline users, or are cell phone users included in the polling?
Gary, why don't you go first?
Sure. Cell phone users are not in part of the sampling frame. Fortunately, there was just a presentation on this at a conference I attended, so I can answer the question. Only a low single digits, around 4 or 5% of the population at the most, are cell phone only, and there doesn't seem to be an enormous amount of systematic exclusion there. It is an issue for the future, and there's been a lot of discussion and investigation in the polling community about how to include cell phones in the sample in the future. It's going to have to take place. We're not quite up there yet.
Adam Clymer, wouldn't cell phone-only users tend to skew younger than the rest of the population?
Possibly just a little bit, but almost all major polls, including ours and Gary's, wait for age. That is to say, if you're getting fewer young people than there really are in the population, you count the ones you get a little bit more heavily. So I don't think that's that age differential is a major problem at this point. But as Gary says, it's one of the problems we face in the future.
Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Richard. Richard's on the phone from Wichita, Kansas.
How you doing? Thanks
All right.
for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll try and get this in without flubbing up, being nervous. Prior to the Bill Clinton election, I received a call, took the poll.
Mm-hmm.
The questions were so loaded as to get the answer that they wanted. So I have a tendency to believe that these polls are put out more for advertising, more to sway opinion, than they are to really gauge where the public is really at on it. It is a way for them to bring the public to where they want them to be.
Richard, do you remember who was conducting that poll?
It was an obscure name, and I mean, you know, a fancy name. Of course, they wouldn't say, you know, like, it didn't say, like, you know, Democratic National Committee or Republican. It was some watchdog group or mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, it was an obscure name, but it, at any rate, and then to show the inaccuracy of polling, I would once again go back to the Clinton and Dole election, and that going into the election day, the polls were supposedly saying that Clinton was 13 points ahead, yet when it was all said and done, the margin was only 7 points. So I maintain that had the polls been honest polls and reported that there was only a 7-point deficit going in, that Clinton was only ahead by 7 points, what would that have changed the outcome? And I say it would have.
Oh, well, let's get a response from our two pollsters. Gary Langer, why don't you go first?
Well, a couple of points. First, I mean, I agree with Richard's concern. There is a lot of junk polling out there, manufactured polling, I call it, that is bought and paid for in order to promote a point of view or sell a product rather than to independently evaluate and understand public opinion. That's exactly why we in news organizations do our own polling, so we can independently and neutrally examine these issues. One thing we do that we think is quite important is when we release one of our polls, we release the entire questionnaire, top to bottom, along with it. And anyone who wants to, Richard, anyone else, is welcome to review the full questionnaire. They're always at abcnews.com as well as available directly from us.
I didn't know that was available. That's neat, because that was going to be one of my next things. We ought to have a truth in polling law.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And full disclosure is essential. It is also perfectly appropriate when someone calls you for a survey research to ask who's doing the survey, ask who the sponsor is, who's paying for it. And if you don't get an answer, well, then it's your call as to whether or not you want to participate or not. We're very straightforward in our work. We always identify ourselves, and quite frankly, we work very hard to ask questions that are neutral and unbiased and to present our results in a proper and fair and appropriate way. And I invite anyone, yourself, Richard, or anyone else, to review our work and see what you think.
Adam Clymer, I'm sure you would say things much along the same lines. We just have a few seconds left, and I wanted to both get you to answer a question about the polls that are coming out are sort of a base before whatever happens at the Democratic National Convention this week. Do we expect, because so many people are already so decided, that whatever bounce that Mr. Kerry might get from the convention might be a little smaller than in years past?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's smaller, but I don't think that means the convention is unimportant, because there are a lot of people who are still waiting to make up their minds about Kerry. They probably got pretty strong opinions about Bush one way or the other, but they still don't know Kerry. I mean, a lot more people have no opinion of Kerry than have no opinion of Bush, and so I think it is going to matter. I think the horse race numbers may not change very much, but the numbers reflecting opinions and traits and stuff like that about Kerry are likely to increase.
Gary Langer and Adam Clymer, thanks to you both. We appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Happy to be with you.
Adam Clymer of the National Annenberg Election Survey, Gary Langer, director of polling for ABC News. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.